How to Hope. For some of you have lost hope. I didn't say how to have hope, but how to hope. Lessons from the Israelites and their messianic expectation. This is a series that was started with the help of my oldest son, Daniel White IV. We call him DW4, and it is being finished by my baby son, Daniel Ezekiel White. He's helping me with it. And this is part 22, Second Coming Chapel Sermon, number 237. Please turn in your Holy Bibles, whether your paper Bible saved or digitally saved, whatever Bible you have in front of you, get it. If you have the YouVersion on any device, you are a blessed individual. Numbers 21, verses 5 through 9. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Very dangerous to do that. Be very careful. There's a young man on YouTube, very well known. I want to warn him to be very careful about talking about God's servants. I know some need to be rebuked for sure, but we ought not to be trying to dig up stuff on them, and we ought not to be making fun of them. It's a very dangerous thing. You can end up dead, not by the hands of human beings, but by the hand of God. So be very careful what you say about God's people, and be wise, and make sure you know what you're talking about as well. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. You know how we can get sometimes, we exaggerate. We have what we need, but we try to make it sound so bad. And most times it's not that bad. People just get to lying. And the Lord, and I want you to notice, there was no warning. There was no discussion. Verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And sometimes God gets tired of your mess and my mess, and he will just, okay, you didn't take advantage of my space to repent. You have been often reproved, and you have hardened your neck, and you refuse to change. Okay, I'm just going to send some fiery serpents into your life. Some of you all are being bitten by fiery serpents right now. You're having all kinds of tribulation and trouble because you won't do right. And you're blaming God and talking about God and talking about the pastor and everybody else. Isn't it interesting how the people who cause the most problems and who hurt themselves the most always want to blame it on somebody else? They always want to blame somebody else. And there's always either God or the authority figure representing God. In the black community, it's the authority figure. White folks are so arrogant and so proud, they'll start blaming God and questioning God. Why, God, did you let this happen to me? You don't hear black folks talking like that. Most black folks, they never question God. Now, they'll question you. But black folks don't question God. They don't have any questions for God. They don't be talking about, I'm mad at you, God, all that kind of crazy talk. Only white folks do that. I don't know why. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee." It's amazing how troubled in the fiery serpent, when they start biting, your whole perspective change, and you're quick to name the sin and confess it and to repent of it and to gain a solution. They said, "Pray unto the Lord that he take away these serpents from us." Take these serpents. We don't have any control. It was not snakes on a plane. It was snakes in the camp. Oh, my soul. And they must have, man, there must have been a whole lot of them, because they were biting tails, man. They were biting folk, and folk were dropping dead. Bam. And Moses prayed for the people. And oftentimes, the only thing that can be done is prayer. Please remember that. We're in a situation now in this country where the only thing that will help us now is prayer to God. All of you Christians have done all of the politicking you can do is up to God now. So you need to pray to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." Somebody ought to say amen right there. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, now I want to try to get us on, take us back to the old black church. And when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Let me quit. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you, Lord, and we thank you so much for your love, your mercy, your grace, and the kind of love that will, yes, send the fiery serpents in our lives, send the chastisement, send the rebuke, allow the tribulation to come in our lives to get our attention. And we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for allowing us to be here again tonight on a Saturday night to preach about nothing else but your second coming. And Lord, we pray that you will help people in the church who are saved and outside of the church who are lost to get ready, get ready, get ready, because you are coming back. And you want us to occupy until you come. Grant us your courage, your grace, your boldness, and the power of your Holy Spirit, even though we're not Southern Baptists. Lord, help us to get one. Help us not to go to heaven empty-handed, for the rapture could take place tonight if we believe your holy word. And so, Lord, help us to get one. Help us to witness to somebody. Help us to tell somebody about Jesus. Help us to pass our gospel literature as we did earlier today. Open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears, and save those who are lost all across this country and around the globe. Lord, I pray that you would empty me of myself, do the same for all of us. Crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us all. And Lord, I pray that you'll fill all of us with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Help us to love right, to live right, to think right, to do right. Manifest the fruit of your Holy Spirit, even while I'm preaching and while others are listening. Lord, help them to make up their mind to repent of sin as Christians, and to change, and to repent as people who don't know you as Savior and to get saved today. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we pray. And Lord, we will leave it there. Amen. You may be seated. How to Hope. Lessons from the Israelites and their Messianic Expectation. Part 22. Second Coming Chapel Message Number 237. Dr. R.C. Sproul said, "Hope is called the anchor of the soul because it gives stability to the Christian life. But hope is not simply a wish. Rather, it is that which latches on to the certainty of the promises of the future that God has made." Beloved, in our last message, we saw that even though so many people have lost hope in our society today because of the state of this world, if you go to the newspapers, the online newspapers, right now as I speak, they are saying the whole world is in turmoil. A stupid and foolish thing, a war is going on the Syrian border, caused by our own president. There's chaos in Hong Kong and with LeBron James. There's chaos going on in Lebanon and near Israel. And there is chaos and protesting in the streets of Great Britain. Earthquakes in California. Hurricanes in Florida. It seems like to many all hell is breaking loose in light of the impeachment of the U.S. president happening right now. We have a whole lot on our plates. And so many people have given up. So many people have lost hope. And sad to say, even some Christians have lost hope. In our last message, we saw that even though so many people have lost hope because of the state of this world, God does not leave us to suffer on earth without something to have hope in. The second coming hope, we call it the blessed hope, the greatest hope of all time. And that is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that it is near. I believe that the time is right for the Antichrist at any moment to appear. And more importantly, for Jesus Christ to appear in the rapture. We have hope in the salvation provided by Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We have hope in him because of his shed blood, his sacrifice on the cross. He took our place so that we could go free. The Lamb of God took away the sins of the world, your sins and mine, past, present, and future. In the words of Curtis Hudson, bundled up in a big old safe box and cast it into the sea, never to be seen again. God ordered Moses to lift up a bronze statue of a serpent on a pole when all hell broke loose in the camp. This was not snakes on a plane, which is terrifying, but this is snakes in the camp. And it seems as though these snakes had a heat-seeking radar ability, because they were biting and snapping, and there must have been a whole lot of them because they were dropping like flies, as they say. All who looked at the serpent, however, would be saved. Thousands of years later, God would send his only begotten Son to be lifted up on a cross, just as this temporary salvation for the Israelites was as simple as looking at the bronze statue on the serpent. A permanent salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is as simple as believing in him. God made salvation simple. Only human beings tried to make it difficult. The question is, why would God make something like salvation difficult for such wicked, evil, sinful, and ignorant people as we are? No, God made it as simple as he possibly could make it. Just believe on Christ. Just look to Christ. Just like the Israelites had to look at the serpent, that's it. And you would be saved. And that's all you have to do tonight, is trust in Christ and let him be your hope. And he'll give you a blessed hope, because he is coming back. A father and a daughter, a girl of 10 years old, both good swimmers, entered the waters of the Atlantic at a New Jersey seashore resort a few summers ago. When some distance from shore, they became separated, and the father realized they were being carried out to sea by the tide. He called out to his daughter, "Mary, Mary, I am going to shore for help. If you get tired, turn on your back. You can float all day long on your back. I'll come back for you." Before long, many searchers in boats were scurrying over the face of the water, hunting for one small little girl, while hundreds of people to whom the news had spread all over the region and all over the country, many of them waited anxiously on shore. It was 4 hours. I said 4 hours. And it was getting dark before they found her, far, far from land. She was calmly floating on her back and not at all frightened. Cheers and tears of joy and relief greeted the rescuers with their precious burden as they came to land. The child took it calmly, just as calm as she could be. She said, "My father said he would come for me and that I could float all day. So I swam and floated like he said, because I knew he would come." May we as Christians have such faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, because he said he is coming back for us. So we ought to be swimming and we ought to be floating. So keep the blessed hope alive in your heart. Keep hope alive in your heart. Don't give up. Believe the words of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is coming back. And that hope, that blessed hope, ought to do a whole lot in your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit. It ought to give you peace. It ought to give you joy. It ought to cheer you up when you're depressed, defeated, disgusted, and sad. It ought to purify your wicked life. It ought to help you stop seeing Bo Peep and having sex with him every Sunday afternoon. It ought to help you stay away from Sylvia and having sex with her, somebody you're not married to. It ought to help you carve out and put away a whole lot of your sins. It ought to have a cleansing effect in your heart, your mind, your soul, and spirit, and cause you to repent of your sins and keep hope alive, the blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope does not stop with the act of salvation. It just begins. Just as the bronze serpent is a sign of hope because it represented the future Messiah's crucifixion of Christ, the actual crucifixion of Christ looks forward to the future reign of Christ on this earth. We ought to have hope in our salvation and in the assurance that one day Jesus will return to usher us into his kingdom. Do you know him as your Savior? And Christian friend, who now you're depressed, you're defeated, and you're disgusted. You don't even go to church anymore. You don't read your Bible anymore. You don't pray anymore. You have lost your hope, the blessed hope of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to get back to your blessed hope. You need to confess your sins and repent and get your heart right with the Lord if you are already saved and born again. And if you are not saved, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou you shalt be saved. D.W. Whittle said, a lamp in the night, a song in time of sorrow, a great glad hope which faith can ever borrow, to gild the passing day with the glory of the morrow, is the hope of the coming of the Lord. A lamp in the night, a song in time of sorrow, a great glad hope which faith can never borrow, to gild the passing day with the glory of the morrow, is the hope of the coming of the Lord. A call of command like trumpet clearly sounding, to make us bold when evil is surrounding, to stir the sluggish heart and to keep in good abounding, is the hope of the coming of the Lord. A word from the one to all our hearts, the dearest, a parting word to make him the nearest, of all his precious words, the sweetest, brightest, clearest, is the hope of the coming of the Lord. Dear Christian friend, get back to your blessed hope. Stop allowing the devil to defeat you. Stop allowing the devil to depress you and to put you in despair when you have the hope of the coming of the Lord. And dear sinner friend, if you have no hope and everything is dark, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Trust in him as your Savior. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. And if you are with us tonight and you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ yet, I urge you to trust in him, because he is coming again and you do not want to be left behind. So here is how you can place your faith and trust in him for your soul's salvation from the power of sin and the consequences of sin, the punishment of sin, and that is to burn in hell forever. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin always and all day long, all week long, all month long, all year long, all life long. There's a punishment for sin everywhere. The Holy Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of sin. Hell is a terrible thing. Hell is a bad thing. Hell is bad news. But death is bad news too, my dear friend. Can you imagine dying? You were living once and now you're dead. Dead. Death is bad, man. That's a terrible thing. We never get used to death. But there's something worse than death, and that is eternal death in a place called hell. That's where you're going if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. So thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you're on the road to hell right now as I speak. You don't have to do anything else wrong. You have done enough. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is an awful place. Jesus Christ said that hell is so bad there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth and wailing and screaming and hollering. If you don't like a whole lot of screaming and hollering and noise, you don't want to go to hell. Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, here are the things you can do to go to hell. But the fearful and unbelieving, people who don't believe in God, don't believe in Christ, the so-called atheists and the agnostics and the abominable, people who commit abominable acts, people who commit homosexuality and lesbianism and raping girls and raping boys, committing incest with family members, abominable acts. This is beyond the pale. Yes, it is sin like other sins, but this even turns off sinners. And murderers. Abominable and murderers. People who kill others. And whoremongers. Heterosexuals who have sex with people they're not married to. Men are often referred to as whoremongers. Women are often referred to as whores if they're having sex outside of marriage. I'm just reading the Word of God to you. Don't get mad with me. And I don't care if you do. And sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo. And the Zodiac. We got some Christians who steal. Read the horoscopes. And idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God, and all liars. Well, you're saying, well, God didn't get me on the other ones, but he got me on this one. You're right. All liars. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Hell is bad news, dear friend, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." that is in heaven, not perish in hell, but have everlasting life in heaven, with God, with Jesus, with the angels, and with the other saints. And if you want to be a part of the beloved, just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead on the third day, early one Sunday morning, by the power of God for you and for the entire world. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will save you. For Romans 10:9 and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Eternal hell. Saved to what? Eternal heaven. So pray and ask him to save you today, believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. I will help you pray the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have taken your holy name in vain. I have lied before. I have dishonored my parents and disobeyed my parents. I have lusted after and coveted after people and things. I have stolen things before. And Lord, that's five of your Ten Commandments that I have broken, and I have broken others as well. Have mercy and grace upon my soul. For Jesus Christ's sake, I don't understand it all, but I thank you for it all. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. By your grace and your mercy, and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and life and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, and you prayed that prayer with me and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com today and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.